College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Police action overnight from yesterday into today. In one, a 29-year-old man, he has died after he was shot in the Juniata section of the city. Police called to St. Christopher's Hospital for reports of a shooting victim, and they learned that victim was involved in an argument outside a cafe at J Street and Erie Ave. This guy was shot multiple times. Somebody took him to the hospital in a private car, and they're now searching, as I speak, for a white Yukon that was last seen heading north on J Street from Erie Avenue. So police are searching actively for that alleged killer. A 50-year-old man recovering after being shot twice in the chest. This is in the Parkside city of the section of the city, I should say. This happened in the 1700 block of 42nd Street, and it happened last night. And this gentleman, the 50-year-old man, taken to the hospital in stable condition this morning. So no arrests on this one. We don't have suspects, but police continue to investigate that one. We also have a lot of alert. We have a lot of Thanksgiving news, obviously, with Thanksgiving travel tomorrow. Tomorrow, they're saying, is going to be the busiest day.
I saw AAA reported was it 80 million they're expecting?
Yes. Big travel. And gas prices went up a little bit, by the way. Did you notice that? I fueled up last night.
Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah.
They went from just a tick below $3.
Yeah.
Okay.
At the Wawa by me.
Yeah.
To like $3.09 now.
Yeah.
So it went up about 10 cents.
We were about to pull into Wawa to get gas yesterday, and it was $3.17 or $3.19. And then my wife was like, down the road, there's a. So we ended up going to like this little spot. It was like, $2.98. But I've noticed like it's trickling back up.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
But tomorrow's actually the busiest travel day.
Since what, the pandemic? Since 20? I feel like every year it's the busiest day since, like, some old benchmark.
It's usually, isn't it? Isn't that usually Wednesday I think it's Wednesday usually.
Okay, so we're moving things up again this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people are remote working anyway.
Right. Yeah, people have taken this whole week off.
Right.
No, actually, the Tuesday, because it used to be the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, the Tuesday before Thanksgiving has become the most heavily traveled day of the year for the last couple of years, actually.
I mean, that's 80 million people. I mean, that's almost a quarter of the country.
Yeah.
Wow. So a lot of people on the move. So
it's almost everybody that votes.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's well put. Well said. Speaking of travel, we do have Secretary of State Antony Blinken attending G7 foreign ministers meeting in Italy. You notice they always pick like these beautiful places in the world where they say, oh, yeah, we got to have a G7.
Sure. Yeah, let's do the G7. Yeah. You guys want to do a G7 one day?
Yeah. No.
Let's
go do G7.
Like for Greg Stocker, a G7, you know?
Yeah, we'll do a Memorial Day G7.
So, obviously, Middle East, Russia's war in Ukraine, Indo-Pacific security, ongoing crisis in Haiti and Sudan, a lot going on in this world. So, G7. That's the travel of Blinken, if you will. Where's President Joe Biden? He will utilize his presidential pardon power to spare the lives of the two turkeys on the White House South Lawn.
Hopefully Trump doesn't end to this.
Trump liked it.
Yeah.
We need Doge to get in there.
Yeah.
Elon will be like, we must be efficient. Yeah. Eat both turkeys.
Exactly. Elon's going to walk right in and look at those turkeys and
go yourself.
Elon's got a big family to feed, both turkeys and a lot of kids.
He needs to get snipped is what he needs to do.
11 kids.
So as far as that goes, this is a tradition dating back many years, obviously. But I think it was George H.W. Bush who made it more, I don't know, in our time, let's say, that it was the Bush family that made the turkey pardons a TV thing where they pardon one or the other. Didn't Trump pardon both of them, as I recall?
I don't remember, but I do think the first time it happened was when Bush was president, and it was the first Thanksgiving after we started up the Persian Gulf War, I believe, was the first time. Yeah, so that might have been like 90, 91-ish, somewhere in that area.
But they, so it'll be on the White House South Lawn. The turkeys have been given as gifts to American presidents for about 150 years. But like you said, Nick, the more famous modern time televised and all of that. The first documented turkey pardon was given by President John F. Kennedy. They give him credit, 1963. But I think you're right.
Did he sleep with it after?
Stop.
After he pardoned it?
Trying to have a light, little, nice little story here,
sorry,
guys.
Well, yeah. You brought up a Kennedy. It's your own fault.
Well, since we do talk about shootings around this time each day, was this before or after Kennedy's head got blown off?
Oh my gosh. Oh my goodness. So in all of the news, as we look at the gas prices, we look at all the travel, and then of course we all take the victory lap because Eagles 37-20. Mm. It was an incredible night. With the exception of, I'm very sad about Brandon Graham.
Yeah, me too, man.
What happened to Brandon Graham?
He tore some muscle. I don't know.
Okay,
he's out for the season.
Yeah, leg muscle. He tore.
That'll be the end of his career.
Well, he didn't rule. And the thing is, it's almost like they jinxed him during the game.
Yeah, I know.
Because they were like, "Look, that's how you do."
He had a great game.
Oh my gosh!
Not as great as Saquon.
No. Not as great as Saquon.
Yeah. I feel for him. It is third down and 5. Barkley back in. Hurts in the pistol with Barkley behind him. What a bet he gives it to Barkley. He gives it to Barkley, who cuts outside. Uh-oh. He's at the 40, the 50, uh-oh, the 40. He's going to go again. He's going to go again. Touchdown, Saquon Barkley. His all-time record, 72 yards.
How good is that guy? How good is this guy? It's an amazing job by the offensive line, but when Saquon Barkley gets to the second level, again, it's a foot race. He outruns everybody. His total now, 255 yards rushing on the night.
That is an all-time Eagles record, breaking the record of Shady McCoy. Remember you laughed 2 quarters ago when I brought it up.
I did.
He broke it. He didn't break it. He buried it. Oh, my goodness.
He's in the pistol.
I think you need this on your board, Nikhil.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Jimmy Kelly, if you're listening back there, Merrill Reese.
Merrill Reese is the best.
Yes.
I'm watching visually, I still have to have on the Odyssey app. And you know what I mean?
He's so good. Yeah.
I do, because he's just the best.
It's going to be maybe a Super Bowl preview on Sunday, because now the Eagles play Baltimore.
Ooh.
Derrick Henry and Barkley battling for MVP.
To be fair, guys, the Eagles' schedule has been a bit light.
Well, yeah, absolutely, yes.
You know.
But Barkley is, so he had one of the greatest nights for any player in the 91-year history of the Philadelphia Eagles. No player in our history.
The Giants gave him away.
I know. Here's the thing. All of those Giants, I feel, because your golfing buddy is so...
Oh, Bill.
Bill.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
He's got no football team, and he has to play Christmas music for 6 straight weeks. He's ready to kill himself. He's had it. He's counting down the days until the weather gets good again and he can go play golf.
I feel for him.
That was awesome. Well, 57 degrees, nice little golfing weather today. Sunshine is out. We might have a little rain overnight. Piazza Auto Group sponsoring us. Hyundai Getaway Sales Event going on right now. Piazza Hyundai of Pottstown, Westchester for a limited time. Get 1.9% financing for 72 months on the new 2024 Santa Fe. Shop online, PiazzaHyundai.com today. Piazza Auto Group, thank you for sponsoring us this morning. P-I-A-Z-Z-A, spell it, Piazza Auto Group, sponsoring Kill & Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 6:15 Monday morning. Let's get to another big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
And it is brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. Trump turkey and Thanksgiving. For most of us with a functional brain, Thanksgiving is about food, friends, family, and football. Perhaps you take in a parade. Perhaps you watch a high school football rivalry in the morning. Then you travel to family members' houses, or maybe they come to yours. We eat turkey. We watch the Cowboys lose. Perhaps take a nap and then either avoid or entertain the crazy uncle who wants to talk politics. But don't run that playbook by the left this year, because they are having none of it. Nope. In fact, left-wingers who are still hurt over the fact that Donald Trump won the election are now boycotting family members who might have voted for the orange man because they don't feel safe around you. Not a joke. Here's MSNBC resident troll Joy Reid on how you should approach your holiday this week. Listen and watch.
People are rightfully alarmed. They have a reason to be alarmed. And if you would vote for that, people may not feel so confident that they're safe with you. This is not crazy. This is legitimate feelings of fear of you and a feeling that you might not be someone they could trust. If this thing goes way south, autocracies go south real fast and things get ugly and people get asked to do things and turn people in and point people out and turn on them. And if you're voting affirmatively, gleefully for this, and people might, I don't know, may not feel so confident in you anymore. That's real, and you kind of have to live with it. So if you think that you can vote for what people see as their destruction and then demand that they still are cool with you and kiki with you and have Thanksgiving with you, like, I think you're kind of missing the point of what people are upset about. They're afraid. And autocracy and fascism are things that are legitimate to be afraid of. So you may want to step back.
I think that lady needs to be placed in a straitjacket away from sharp objects, and maybe we have her brain studied for the benefits of future science. Because if you think Joy Reid is unhinged now, imagine what will happen to her mental health if Elon Musk were to purchase MSNBC. We know that Comcast is officially selling the left-wing news network, and we now know that Elon Musk might be interested in purchasing it. According to Mediaite, they reported the following. Donald Trump Jr. shared a meme on Friday afternoon on X claiming that MSNBC was up for sale. He tagged Elon Musk and commented, "Hey, Elon Musk, I have the funniest idea ever." The Tesla and SpaceX CEO replied, "How much does it cost?" After the exchange went viral, Musk commented saying, quote, "The most entertaining outcome, especially if ironic, is most likely." And remember, years before, Musk purchased Twitter in 2022 for a cool $44 billion. He asked a similar question about the cost of the social media platform on December 21st of 2017 when he says, "How much does Twitter cost?" As we know, the rest is history. Comcast and NBC Universal did not announce any plans to sell MSNBC or CNN on the open market when it was confirmed that the networks would be spun off from NBC News. That according to a report from the Wall Street Journal. But could you imagine the social media and mainstream meltdowns if Elon Musk did make that purchase? Think about that. Joy Reid, Rachel Maddow, Jen Psaki, Morning Joe, all having to answer to their new boss, Elon Musk, assuming he would even keep them around. It would be glorious, but I doubt it happens. Bill Maher was making all sorts of sense on Friday night as he mocks the far left ideologues of his now broken Democrat Party. And this is, I think, in the direction of one Joy Reid. Listen and watch Bill Maher.
The chief psychiatric resident at Yale University, Amanda Calhoun, recently told Joy Reid it's okay to cut off family members if they voted for Trump and tell them, "I'm not going to be around you this holiday." Oh, how pure. It's like not letting certain people sit with you on the bus. She also said that it shouldn't be automatic that family members think they're entitled to your time. She said that's just a societal norm. Family. Who do they think they are? Family? I mean, think about that. A mental health professional advising people to isolate during the holidays. And don't forget to drink too much and put on weight. And this Thanksgiving, before the big meal, remember to take turns saying what you're hateful about. You know who I really wouldn't want to have Thanksgiving dinner with? This overly educated, i.e. extremely stupid, ivory tower academic. But I would, because if we ever want this nation to heal, this is what we have to do. Force ourselves to reach out and find out why someone feels the way they do and make the choices they make without prejudging them a monster.
So who is the divisive party? Is it the party that just won the election with three different factions, or that united around a common sense ideological approach? Or is it the party that just lost that has allowed the fringe minority to overrun the party with psychobabble rants and disillusioned views on everyone that doesn't see it the way they do? The party of diversity, albeit only in appearance and sexual preferences, had to take another L heading into the weekend as Donald Trump announced Scott Bessent to be his Treasury Secretary. Scott identifies with the LGBTQ plus community and is considered one of the most savvy international investors and geopolitical and economic strategists with holdings in a variety of industries. Now, in the press release that Trump's war room put out, there was no mention of him being LGBTQ plus because I personally believe the Trump administration awarded him the position based on merit, not who he chooses to sleep with. Scott Turner also tabbed as secretary to run the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Scott is African American. So if we're checking off boxes, because we know the left loves to check off their boxes, Trump has countless women in his cabinet, a member of the LGBTQ plus community, and a black man. I hope MSNBC will approve of that and report on that fairly. And Trump has also tabbed Dr. Marty McCarry to lead the FDA. You know him. He was the rogue doctor who actually had the temerity to say publicly that lockdowns wouldn't help, that they would, in fact, hurt the country and they wouldn't work. He also opposed vaccine mandates. Take a look at the mainstream media headlines over this nomination by Trump. Just search for him during our commercial about Marty being tabbed the head of the FDA. And see the slant on all of the headlines from all of the usual suspects. Because they're still in their feelings that Marty was right about a lot of things, and they were wrong. And lastly, I think we have found the first mission for DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency, headed up by Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy. Did you know, according to the Daily Caller, the Biden-Harris administration spent $3.4 million with the NIH, that's the National Institute of Health, that's Tony Fauci's department, to develop an app for, get this, Malaysian gay men engaged in chemsex. I'll say that one more time. An app for Malaysian gay men engaged in chemsex. What does that mean? Well, it's millions of dollars wasted on drug-fueled gay sex apps. This was done at the University of Connecticut, by the way. True story. You can read it on the Daily Caller's website. And also, lastly, good news for Donald Trump to wrap up the week, as his New York hush money case had the sentencing delayed indefinitely, as this case will likely be tossed, as I said, all along. So as we wrap up a short week here on Kale and Company, try to finish up your victory lap. Enjoy your turkey, your stuffing, your pumpkin pie. Give your friends and family that might be suffering with post-election TDS a nice hug, even if they won't welcome you into their house. And just let them know that A, Joy Reid is insane, and B, they'll be safe and everything will be just fine, even if they don't like it. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company.
Brought to you by Garden State Earthworks. If you have water on your property that's causing you a headache, perhaps soggy yards, a damp patio, or a pool area getting swampy, visit GardenStateEarthworks.com. It is your drainage solution. That's GardenStateEarthworks.com or call 856-848-4444. We'll come back and we got two big stories to get to. Elon Musk possibly purchasing MSNBC, and also breaking down Trump's very liberal and ideologically diverse cabinet and what it means for the future of Trump's administration. That's all still ahead this morning on a Monday. It's Kale and Company, Nick, Dawn, and Greg, right here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Cap off the NFL with this week with a chance to win on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. New customers can get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins on tonight's game. Baltimore Ravens at the L.A. Chargers. I'm going with this four-leg same-game parlay. You can place a $10 wager to win $270. Lamar Jackson for an anytime touchdown. Ladd McConkey for an anytime touchdown. J.K. Dobbins for an anytime touchdown. And Derrick Henry for an anytime touchdown. $10 wager wins $270. Or you can just bet on the money line, over, rushing yards, over passing yards. You don't have to do what I do, but there's so much there to choose from. All you have to do is plunk down $5, and you can win $150 in bonus bets if your first bet wins. Just go to FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel.com/Greg, FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of the NFL, and 1210. WPHD, 21 and over, present in PA. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fandor.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and the free Odyssey app.
Let's get into the Elon Musk MSNBC story because it's very fascinating. And it could be just, you know, one of those comments in passing, but we do have a precedent. And unlike our gal up in Bucks County, Diane Marseglia, I do believe in precedent. I do believe in looking at what has happened in the past as a way to indicate on how people will rule or act in the future. And Elon Musk 7 years ago inquired about the price of Twitter, back when it was called Twitter, when Jack Dorsey owned it. And 5 years later, he purchased it for a cool $44 billion. In an attempt to restore free speech on social media. So, Don Stensland, your thoughts on Elon Musk, MSNBC, because I think a lot of people are wondering, what would it cost? What would it look like? Would it just be straight news? And would this be state-run media? I don't know. It's interesting, though.
Well, I thought it was hysterical that Joe Rogan chimed in and said, oh, I want Rachel Maddow's job then. So that one was funny. I think they're trolling. I think it started as, you know, I think it was starting as a joke. But sometimes, you know, when you get all this reaction, because I think conservatives, everybody was saying, oh, please, God, make this happen, make this happen. It was so funny. But the fact that we're talking about it. And so I think at that point, does he buy it? I kind of doubt it. I really think he was trolling them. But maybe it makes him think more about buying media, that looks like.
Yeah.
Is it a bargain, though? I mean, Comcast made it official. We talked about it last week, Wednesday, mm-hmm. that they made it official, even though it was rumbled about for several weeks prior to the election.
Yep.
And I reported that back then. But the question is, what's the cost? So I think Elon Musk thinks, how much is it? What's the cost? And then remember what he did at Twitter, because he cut, 80% mm-hmm. of the staff?
Yes.
And streamlined it, which is why Trump wants him to do some things in government
mm-hmm.
to streamline. So if I'm at that network or any media company where Musk takes over, I'm thinking, rut-row.
You know, I was thinking about this over the week, and I am no business expert by any stretch, but if X was $44 billion, we know, I think he lost like $22 billion right off the top, but it wasn't about really making money and, you know, turning a profit. Although that clip I played for you late last week has shown that Elon Musk's net worth went from like $252 billion to $314 billion, even though X has lost some of their total user activity accounts. I think it's like only 21% of Americans are still on X anymore at this point. But what would MSNBC cost? At most $10 billion? At most? Which would be like a fourth of what Twitter costs.
And remember his net worth. He's the richest man in the world.
Right.
And his value is $80 billion more than the next richest person in the world.
Right.
Not $80 billion. $80 billion more
right.
than the next richest person in the world. So, yes, he has a lot of FU money mm-hmm. that he can play with.
Yep.
$10 billion for that? No, I would
less than that.
Oh God, yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so maybe God, $3 billion, $4 billion.
I don't even know if it's going to be in the billions. Guys.
See, I would think with the ability for MSNBC to generate ad revenue that this would actually be a more sound business decision than purchasing Twitter, because he's not making that money back on Twitter. I mean, yeah. I know Twitter does do advertising, but they're not able to generate the amount of money I would think. And I could be way off here. I could be dead wrong. I didn't look up what Twitter's advertising revenue was in 2023, the first year Elon Musk owned it for a full calendar year. So I could be dead wrong. But I would imagine with like Big Pharma and the companies that advertise on MSNBC that the return on his investment would be better. Now, that being said, here's where I want to throw some cold water on this for all of the, you know, the Trump supporters out there that are rooting for this to happen. He's not going to turn it into Newsmax or Fox News. I think he would actually have it just be a straight down the middle news, like, you know what we've been saying and speculating what CNN should do? Like Dawn has said, boots on the ground, get back to your journalism thing. And remember, Elon Musk is not a conservative. So he's not gonna make it a second Fox News or a Newsmax or an OAN. Mm-hmm. I think he would just get rid of the woke nonsense and it would be like a centrist news network, whatever that could possibly look like.
Well, that to me is fascinating because, and I'll just look at the ratings. Among the demographics, ages 25 to 54, Maddow had averaged pretty good numbers, 50% drop since Trump's win and since the Republican sweep. So 50% drop in a lot of their shows. They've just lost people.
They didn't have the best 25-54 numbers in 15 years like this radio station has. Sorry.
But as far as Elon Musk, and then I think about the fact that he has Starlink. One of the big costs that you have is when you go live around the world and you have reporters all over. In the past, it was very expensive. In other words, to get those reporters to where they were going and make sure that they were, you know, reporting live, you had to send a huge crew.
Yep.
But nowadays it would be far less expensive because of the advantage of Starlink. And so would they be able to do something live remotes with a very small crew? They would have to have a high skill set, but it may change the face of reporters as we know it because those people might have been past soldiers or, you know, that you have videographers who are war videographers who have that skill set and give you that grit and that reality and then cover the world in that regard. Not pretty faces, you know, from pretty schools and Ivy League places, but rather people who are tough and have the grit and the might to go into some of these very tough environments and even in cities to cover these gangs that we're hearing about, the cartels, to go undercover. So Musk would have that ability, I believe, because of Starlink. That probably would change news live reporting as we know it.
That's a good point. Yeah. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, Elon Musk and the possibility of purchasing MSNBC. All right. So from that to Trump's cabinet, which obviously, you know, not technically, but in theory does include Elon Musk and also many other people that are not typical conservatives, Tulsi Gabbard, Bobby Kennedy. Very interesting story from MSNBC. Behind the curtain, Trump's liberal cabinet, and I'm sorry, this is not MSNBC.
It's Axios.
I saw something from MSN at the bottom. So here's a very good breakdown of what's happening. I highlighted two of his selections in the big take. Scott Bessent, hopefully I get that name correct. Bessent, I'm not sure how you pronounce it. But he is the Secretary Treasury. He identifies as LGBTQ+. I also mentioned the Urban Housing and Development, Scott Turner, African American. And we have seen since this cabinet was put together in the last 2+ weeks or so, countless females, right? From top to bottom. Susie Wiles, Linda McMahon, on down the list. A lot of strong, very, I don't want to say abrasive, but very, just, they've got a lot of gumption. Elise Stefanik. There's a lot of flamethrowers on the females.
Smart and skilled.
Yes. The exact opposite of what Mark Cuban tried to claim Trump surrounds himself with from a female standpoint. So, boy, that really aged well for Mark Cuban, did that not? Well, what a comment that was. So, you look at this, and they break down a handful of these selections, and I just want to read a couple of the highlights here. A former George Soros advisor who now promises...
Read on.
You want me to read on, sir?
Yes.
A former George Soros advisor who now promises Trumponomics will turn around the economy running the Treasury. That's Scott Bessent. Why it matters. They say lost in the noise of Trump's most controversial picks is the simple, undebatable fact that this might be the most ideologically diverse cabinet of modern times. As Axios' Zachary Basu told you, Trump's cabinet increasingly resembles a European-style coalition government staffed with a dizzying array of ideological rivals, united, for now, by a grand MAGA vision. The team represents the Trump worldview. traditional conservatism dead, its biggest lifelong advocates neutered to the point of irrelevance. A Trump transition source told Axios, most of the picks are a version of Trump in their thinking and Trump in their approach. They're fearless disruptors who can walk into these buildings and know they have a mandate for reform and change. Trump's earlier hostile takeover of the Republican establishment is now morphing into a fast-forward hostile takeover of federal bureaucracy. Trump insiders tell us they're confident that Bobby will get confirmed as far as that position goes. They say the big picture, in just under a decade, Trump, once a donor to Democrats, has transitioned the GOP of George W. Bush, John McCain, and Mitt Romney into a populist party with radically different views on trade, immigration, and spending. They conclude by saying the GOP establishment is now Trump's team of populists. A behind-the-scenes Republican power broker told us the old Bush establishment are the outsiders. So when you look at this, you know what I love about this? And I kind of said this last week in a different way. I said the current Republican Party under Trump is split into three different pieces of the pie. You have your traditional rock-solid conservative, you have your America First populist, and you have your disenfranchised Democrat. And that's basically what Axios is breaking down here with this group of individuals that Trump has selected. And what I like about this the most, Dawn, is this is a mentally, ideologically, academically diverse group of people as far as school of thought and modalities of which they believe, right? It's not about, hey, let's find one person that looks like this. Let's find one person that's of this nation, this descent, of this religious belief. We don't need to have every single buddy from the LGBTQ plus IA, ABC, XYZ community. Like, you find people that are bright, that have merit, that are deserving of it. And oh, by the way, if they happen to fall into a certain category, cool. But it's not a prerequisite. And that's what I like about this here. And Scott Bessent's a George Soros guy.
Oh, from the Soros Fund Management, Nick Hale?
I believe so.
Yeah, sir. Yeah, okay, interesting.
Soros Capital Management, he worked as chief investment officer from 2011 to 2015.
Mm, where are all those tweets now?
Following his
where are all those emails now?
Following his work with Soros,
yep.
He founded
Where's
hedge
Mark Levin
fund
now?
Key Square
Where's
Chris Capital
DeGaulle
Management.
Now?
Oh, my God. And he was a key economic policy advisor and fundraiser for the Trump campaign.
Yeah, interesting.
His policies, what does he like? What does he advocate for? Things like spending restraint and discipline, lower taxes, deregulation. Those are some of the, core pieces of it. But one thing you see swirling is all of the optimism about small business creation and ownership, because that's something that obviously took a hit because of the pandemic. I mean, we can feel that across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and across the country. And so I think that that will be one of his focuses. I'm hearing bipartisan support for Scott Bessent.
I didn't see any negative comments at all on Friday when that came out.
No, not at all.
And that's funny how that happens, isn't it?
Because I think with Trump, the bottom line is, and it's so funny to see the so-called mainstream media break this down and talk about it. You see, it's not about DEI. It's
no.
Not about, Trump is looking at who are the best people who are hard. Yes, he wants loyalty, but who doesn't when you make a hire, right?
And he wants outsiders.
But he doesn't care. So to your point, I mean, I don't think Trump thinks of like George Soros as an enemy. He says this guy worked for Soros, who's probably a pretty tough boss and is obviously a wealthy billionaire. Or that's a redundant phrase, I guess, but a billionaire who demands perfection and that sort of thing. And so Trump says, oh, well, that's impressive. He
but
was
Dawn,
successful
I'm
under Soros Capital Management.
I'm told we're going to get our talking points faxed to us every day by a certain organization that's going to tell us what to say. Oh, turn Flynn to MSNBC. Are you guys going to become MSNBC now? Shut up.
Well, the truth is...
Boy, that's been percolating in your system.
When I saw this happen over the weekend, I was just like, get me to 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Please. Please.
You guys going to become a...
We start at 6 a.m.
You guys are going to become a MSNBC now. But you got rid of Mark Levin.
Not because his rating stunk. Not because his rating stunk. Yeah.
Be nice.
Sorry, I just had to. I had to get that off because right. The narrative over the last 6 months has just infuriated me, yes, because people who don't know our business or don't know what we do go down these roads and be like, "Well, what about this guy? I thought on Twitter it must be true." Sorry.
Oh, Benny Johnson tweeted.
Exactly.
All right, so Stocker got it out of the system. Dawn gave you some good background of this individual, and I like it. I don't need everybody to be in harmony, kumbaya. I don't need echo chambers of thought. I like people that surround themselves with motivated, smart people. And I think that's what Trump does. You know, yes, loyalty, as Dawn said, loyalty matters. Definitely being an outsider matters. And not that every single pick is an outsider. You're never going to, like, this whole notion of, you know, flushing out every single swamp creature, that's impossible to do. Like, I know everybody wants Cash Patel to head up the FBI. Might be a long shot, okay? Yes, he'd be great. But you might end up with somebody that you don't necessarily love, that said this about Trump 13 years ago, or voted one way in a different direction that you would have voted on a specific bill that reached the House floor. You're not going to get every single thing you want, but I'll tell you what, I was seeing some of the polls that came out yesterday on the Sunday morning shows. CBS, YouGov, 53% of Americans approve strongly or somewhat of Trump's transition. 6 out of 10 Americans are on board with most of the cabinet picks. We're seeing a majority of Americans, and granted, yeah, Trump won the popular vote, so that should be, you know, apples to apples. These numbers should be reflective of each other. But a lot of people like what's going on, and we'll see if they're able to pull off all of their goals and ambitions once they take place in what? Opelka sent the email out. Was it 54 days until Inauguration Day, I think? He's doing a countdown tracker on Inauguration Day.
They're definitely going after Tulsi and Pete Hegseth.
Yeah, those are the next two in the crosshairs, right?
Yeah.
And then they'll move down the list. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on our number one, and I'll give you some of the other specifics and details of what I believe should be Doja's first target. I kind of teased that a little bit in the big take. We'll give you the specifics as to where your money was going, and we'll do that after this.
You've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, how much I love the work they've done in my home. And you know by now, if I needed windows, doors, siding, stucco remediation, I would only trust the Chapman family team. But did you know that they also install shutters, a perfect complement to your new windows? I always say that shutters are like the eyebrows, right? You never shave off your eyebrows. You got to have the eyebrows for the facial makeover. If you think of the windows as the eyes of the home, for the month of November, Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, they're giving away a pair of shutters when you purchase two pairs. So the right shutters can really enhance the curb appeal of your home. Whether you or somebody you know, they're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the hardware choices, just give them a call or text them. They're like-minded, local, 610-431-8898. You can always visit them online, chapmanwindowsdoors.com. Take a virtual tour. Look at all of the before and after photos, and you'll see for yourself what I'm talking about, a house when they get the shutters on there. It's so beautiful and just gives that pop, that wow to a house. But remember, this is for the month of November, so you want to hurry up and get this on the calendar. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
The Biden-Harris administration spent $3.4 million in taxpayer dollars via the NIH to do more research and fuel and funnel millions of dollars into developing a drug-fueled gay sex app. And I think that should be the first target of DOGE, the Department of Government Efficiency. The amount of the money that this country just squanders on stupid stuff that is a complete waste of time has got to end. I saw this courtesy of the Daily Caller. I want to give you just a couple of details on this. So they write that the Biden-Harris administration is spending millions funding a project to advise homosexual men on how to more safely engage in drug-fueled intercourse. This occurred right here in our country at the University of Connecticut, a.k.a. UConn. Coincidentally enough, that's the, I believe, the school that Phil Omquist went to, or at least roots for the UConn Huskies in basketball, because Because in July, they announced a five-year, $3.4 million grant from the NIH for assistant professor Roman Shrestha to develop his app. It's called JomCare, J-O-M-Care, a smartphone-based app just in time with adaptive intervention technology aimed at improving access to HIV and substance use-related harm reduction services for Malaysian GBMSM, gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men engaged in chemsex, according to University News website UConn Today. Chemsex, according to Northern Irish LGBTQ plus nonprofit The Rainbow Project, is the involvement of drug use in one's sex life and typically involves methamphetamine, mephedrone, and GHB and GBL. Examples of the app's use cases include providing a user who has reported injecting drugs with prompts about ordering an at-home HIV test kit and employing safe drug injection practices, UConn Today reported. I don't know. If I was Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy, I think if I'm looking to save a cool couple $1 million right off of the jump starting January 20th, 2025, I would go to the NIH. I would go to the CDC. I would go to these other alphabet agencies that get all of this grant money, millions upon millions of dollars, and I would say, you know what? We could probably take this money and use it for more important things, like, I don't know, paving potholes, you know, fixing things at the border. You know, we talk about apps in that stupid border app, that CB1 app. Like, are we really wasting money on this? This is outrageous. If you're a taxpayer, which all of you are, I would assume, this is where your money goes. This has got to stop. We're funding an app for gay drug-fueled sex apps for Malaysian men. Can we at least do it for American men? Again, can we do it America first? Is that too much to ask for? All right, out of my system. You got the Soros out of your system. I got that out of my system, Stacker.
You know who publicized this? It was Matt Gaetz. He's the one who took a swipe at the Biden administration for spending this money.
Well, Gaetz prefers straight drug-fueled sex orgies.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, you know, to each his own. You know, but I just the amount, and we're only scratching the surface on it. Like, we talk about COVID and the lockdowns and pandemic, and we say, oh, we're just scratching the surface on the impact. Like, you give Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy, I believe the deadline they said was they want to have this wrapped up, the Doge Department, and all of their work concluded by July 4th of 2026, when this nation turns 250 years young. It'll be, what, roughly 18, it's like basically an 18 month project. The amount of things that they are going to uncover, I'll set the over under right now at 14 and a half stories that we have like this that goes to show you the amount of money, and that's just the money they can track and trace. Remember, they've got billions of dollars they just lost unaccounted for in this country. We are so financially irresponsible as a nation, and it just drives me nuts as a financial conservative when I read this stuff and I'm like, this is where my money goes. And you wonder why people are angry. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Dawn will have some news. Hour number two is on the way. And Thanksgiving dinner, it'll be a little cheaper this year. How much so? We'll give you the details. Hour two is next.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.